This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivero. What is going on, everybody? I am so excited to be back. Football is back. Football is back. And by football being back, I mean Real Madrid is back. Let's be real, because it is the greatest team in the world. It is the greatest team in history of football. And, you know, it is, of course, when they're back, when they start playing, that is when football is back. So we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So before I get started in, I have a whole, thing, obviously about the Barcelona game, and then obviously about, the transfers and different things that are going on right now. But let's talk about right now with where the Real Madrid podcast is. Y nada más el Real Madrid podcast. So, our social media channels, as you can see there on the ticker, if you are watching on YouTube, are at Y Nada Más Podcast on Instagram. I'm sorry, no. At Y Nada Más Podcast on Facebook and on Twitter. And thanks to all of you, we already have more than enough subscribers now to have the vanity URL on YouTube. So now if you go to YouTube, youtube.com/Y Nada Más Podcast, or if you look up Y Nada Más Podcast on YouTube, you will find our channel. So I thank you guys for that. We thank you guys for that, for subscribing and whatnot, to so that now we have obviously the video version of the podcast and we have the audio version of the podcast. So if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast and you have a YouTube channel, yeah, if you have a YouTube channel, please, guys, please, even if you don't use it as much, but I doubt that you don't use it, because I think everybody goes on YouTube to look at something at some point. So if you have a YouTube channel, do us a huge favor. Go on over to Y Nada Más Podcast, hit the subscribe button, and you'll be notified, or you'll see our videos. Give a look-see at the old videos that we have there. We're going to be uploading different content, of course. I'm going to be doing now, that this season's not officially started yet, but that we're starting to see Real Madrid playing football again. We are going to, I'm going to be doing quick takes, and who knows, we'll add some other stuff on there as well. As you can see, if you're watching the YouTube video right now, we upgraded our cameras in the studio. This is just one of the cameras. We haven't upgraded the microphone. I'm hoping that I had to do a whole bunch of stuff. We had to do a whole bunch of formatting discs and everything after last season because of, so much of the video that was recorded. And we did a whole cleaning of the hard drives and everything. Because what I really want to be able to do is start doing some live streams as well. Maybe watching a game together or whatnot. Obviously, we can't, show the games. But, watch it together, chatting, seeing what's going on, some reactions. Stuff like that. Just some different content. So I really want to do that. I'm going to see if, the current rig that we have, the current systems that we have in place can handle doing. I want to do it right. So I want to do it at a high resolution. So hopefully if the current system doesn't hold out, then we're going to be springing for some more stuff to get that going. So with that said, unfortunately, I know that we have, we start the season either on August 14th or it's August 14th or August 10th. Or is it August 17th? I can't exactly remember because I don't have it at the top of my head. I was trying to record this yesterday. I had a whole sort of, we had a whole bunch of issues with the equipment. And so I decided it was like really late at night. So I decided it's Monday now when I'm recording this, because we had all this stuff ready to go. And then, you know, it started crapping out. It was being a real asshole, the computer. And so we decided, you know what, let's leave it. It's too late. You know, and I scrapped it. So I don't remember everything I had on my notes that yesterday. So I have some different notes today. But anyway, I am actually going to be out for work. It sucks because I'm going to be traveling for work. I'm going to be in Europe. I'm going to be traveling. Unfortunately, not going to be going to Spain. I would love to, and hopefully catch, you know, a game when I was in Spain if I was in Spain. But I will be in Scandinavia, so I will be traveling through Copenhagen, Helsinki, Stockholm. I'm going to be in a bunch of different places there. In the Baltics, going to Latvia, Lithuania, a bunch of different places there for work. I'm going to be there for work. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to catch the games, or if I do, it'll be on a delay. I'll have to catch them after the fact and then hopefully record something. I do have to take my equipment, some of my equipment with me, not the studio equipment. So I will be taking this camera. I will be taking another camera and my cell phone. So one of those things is going to have to make do to hopefully make some content and upload it to and give you guys a podcast. It might not be right after the game, and I'll have to watch the game first if I watch it on a delay. But since I'll be in Europe, I'll hopefully be able to catch it at the same time. It's usually going on there, so it'll be in the evening. But I am going to be on a ship. So essentially, it's going to be moving. So who knows if I'm even going to have connection while I'm out at sea. And we'll see if that happens, if that works out. If I can get, you know, if I can watch the game. If not, I'll have to watch it like when we're in port. And then after we're in port, I can see, you know, and then I can try and record something right after and then upload it. But I'm going to try to get some content to you guys while I'm out there in Europe. Anyway, so besides that, what else do I have to say? That's about it for all the updates. You know, we're back. Football is back, which means, you know, I'm back. You know, we took a break. A lot of us, you know, I got my family. My kids are running around right now. I don't know if you guys can hear them. They're screaming. They're playing with the dog, you know. And then I have, you know, the guys that work with me. Well, I mean, Trombach is, you know, out over there in India. He is doing his thing. He's writing for a bunch of different places. He's going to be writing for us, of course, and continue on and show up on the podcast, Halal, as well. So we took a little summer break. And then my friend Carlos here that helps me with the edits on Instagram and some of the other stuff behind the scenes. And then my editor, Adrian, is also helping out. But he was on vacation as well. So we're back now. Anyway, let's talk about Real Madrid versus Barcelona. Let's talk about the game because, you know, Real Madrid versus Barcelona, it's a preseason game, but due to Barcelona's situation as of late, when it comes to winning trophies, you know, lack thereof winning them, they are simply happy any time they can beat us. So Saturday was no exception. You know, they were, you can see it in the media. If you guys are following on Twitter, I know you guys are because I talk to a lot of you guys on Twitter. So if you guys are on Twitter, you know, you'll see that, you know, Barcelona plays up a lot of the stuff that they're doing. You know, they're playing up, you know, they're making a big deal out of a preseason friendly. But of course, that's what they do. That's what they've done out of late. You know, games that are irrelevant in the grand scheme of things have become the only thing that gives them any joy. And so, of course, they're going to take this 1-0 win as some huge accomplishment. But we'll see how the season plays out and how the cookie crumbles. Seems like the more talkative they've gotten over the last few years, the more Real Madrid has been able to get the one up on them. You know, I don't, this game was really no indication, I feel. And I think Madridistas, you guys got to take this all with a grain of salt. You know, you could see that there were experiments being made. There were players being tried out There was a bunch of different stuff that was being, you know, we were moving players around. We were attempting different things. Benzema wasn't there. Carvajal wasn't there. So, you know, be that as it may, you know, we still do want to win against Barcelona, but we want to win when it matters. And so hopefully we can win when it matters, and they can continue to gloat about these nonsensical things and these non-competitive matches, because when they beat us 4-0, I don't think it was, they weren't really in the title race as much, if at all. Champions League was a distant memory for them. So Real Madrid really didn't take that game seriously. I was angry at the time because I think anytime it's in La Liga, we definitely want to take it seriously. But for a preseason, I understand that you're going to experiment and do things and move pieces around. So I wasn't too angry about that. So let me give you my impressions of the game, right? So initially, right away, and one of the things that stuck out in my head when I watched the game was that Lucas Vázquez felt like a liability from the get-go. This guy, you know, he's grown on me. He's an important utility player. He bleeds Madrid. He loves Madrid. He's done things. He's had, you know, his moments, and he's done some great stuff. But he is a sub. He is a utility player. But yeah, he's one of those players that you do want, I think, have on the bench. But to be a starter, especially in a game against Barcelona, against, you know, in place of Carvajal, Lucas Vázquez is not a right back, you know, a solid right back. He's not a solid right winger. He's in there sort of to fill in the gaps. And he does a good job. That's not trying to say that he's not a good player, but he's a good player for what we need him for. He's not a world-class player, you know, somebody that's going to, you know, make the headlines. But you know, during the game, he was a liability from the get-go. He was unable to deal with the press, with Barcelona's press. I think they felt that. They saw that he, you know, that he was nervous. And I think they also detected the nerviness from Militao, who unfortunately seems to be having a lot of nervy moments, especially towards the end of last season. And he's come back and he still seems to be a little bit nervy right now as well. Hopefully that doesn't carry over into the league. I mean, we still are just beginning. This is just preseason. So we'll see how that plays out. But yes, that nervousness combined with the pressure from Barcelona, they couldn't play out of the back. And, you know, the press got to them and Militao ends up, you know, making a mistake, of course, passing the ball to the center, essentially, you know, inside his box. And Rafinha just picks up the ball. Scores a banger. Let's be real. It was a banger. But, you know, he was gifted it on a silver platter by Militao. So that was what leads to the first goal. If we talk about the debuts, I really liked Rudiger. I liked his passion. I liked his hunger. You know, he really, I think, hit the ground running and at least came in wanting to show that he belonged there. And I felt he did. It was strange because obviously we all know now that he, you know, Ancelotti for some reason put him there as a left back. Well, not for some reason. Now we know that reports have said that the reason he was playing as a left back was because David Alaba had asked him to, had asked Ancelotti to leave him as a center back. So I'm sure that Ancelotti gave him his wish and then decided, I'm going to try Rudiger out as a left back. Apparently, he's going to be trying to do that. You know, he was seeing if Rudiger could do that because, as we saw last season, he was using Mendy and Alaba interchangeably. As he used Mendy as a center back on some occasions, but mostly as a left back, and then Alaba as a left back some occasions as well. So he's trying to see if Rudiger can do it. I thought he did a pretty good job, obviously holding back Rafinha and giving you know, not letting Rafinha make the runs into the box that he wanted to make. He stuck with him pretty much every step of the way. He made some, you know, he made a dashing run into the box and then took a shot on goal that went wide. But he, you know, he has that attempt. He has that aggressiveness, and I liked it. I liked what I saw from a Rudiger. And I have to say this, because when they switched them out, so yes, we know that Alaba, David Alaba can play the left back position. But, you know, I think he's a bigger asset as a center back. Who knows? I mean, I You know, I also liked what I saw from Nacho when he stepped in. And I think he had a better game than Militao. And Nacho just is one of those guys. He's got the loyalty. He's got the hunger. He wants to be there. He's got a strength there, man. You know, he's got that desire to always want to show Madrid that, you know, he belongs there. And, you know, he loves this club with all his heart. So I think he always plays well when we need him to play well. And you know, and he shows class. So I liked him. I thought he was better than Militao when he came in. I actually thought Vallejo wasn't too bad either, you know. But, you know, obviously Vallejo is way down the pecking order. And if, you know, we have to sell players, then that's one of the guys that I think would be on the chopping block. But with that said, you know, when Mendy came on, I felt Mendy was definitely, I mean, what Mendy doesn't have in attack, he more than makes up for in his defensive prowess. I think he's second to none on the left flank when it comes to his defensive prowess. I don't think anybody can, you know, deny that Mendy is incredibly strong defensively. I think he's gotten better with attack. He occasionally does, you know, make those runs. Occasionally does go up, but he's, you know, we all know his crossing is terrible. He rarely ever gets a pass. But sometimes when he makes those marauding runs into the box, you know, and goes as an inverted winger, fullback, you know, he does cause some damage. So he can cause some damage. If he gets better at that, I still think Mendy is really our best asset there on the left flank of the defense. So as a left back, and I still like him as for defensively, you know, what Alaba can bring to that is, I think obviously he's got a better striking. He's also, you know, strong defensively. So to me, if you have Militao, Rudiger, and Alaba playing, you know, Alaba should be the left back, not Rudiger. And then that's really where we're going to see. I think that's how the defense is going to shape up. But we'll see what happens with that and how Ancelotti. Hopefully those experiments don't continue, but we'll see what happens as the season goes on. When it comes to Tchouaméni, Camavinga, and Valverde, I think that's going to be an exciting trio in the midfield. It's going to take some time, I think, for them to work up to the chemistry. You know, that obviously Luka Modric, Kroos, and Casemiro have, but I think this is the trio of the future. Camavinga continues to impress, not just me, but impresses everyone. So elegant on the ball, rarely ever puts a foot wrong, fights back when he does make a mistake. And, you know, he made a slight mistake. I mean, it wasn't like an errant pass or anything like that. Seems like he tripped up, trying to get the ball out of the box. Almost cost us a goal, but it didn't go in. It didn't go in. Ansu Fati didn't score. So I'm not really going to hold that against him. I think, you know, obviously, again, it's preseason, but he looked great. I think he was one of the best players on the pitch for me. Tchouaméni, I think, still needs to develop his chemistry, you know, the chemistry that he needs as time goes on. I mean, he's a new addition to the team. These are guys that he hasn't played very long with. So we saw him do a lot of, you know, just horizontal passes, side passes, you know, not really making any runs or trying to do anything, I think, attacking wise, really just sitting back and playing more defensive and making sure, you know, he was tracking back and locking that midfield down. But it was really more Camavinga than anything else. Valverde, of course, is always, you know, a threat now, I think. And I think this, I mean, Valverde, watch out, ladies and gentlemen, watch out when Valverde starts scoring those long shots. He has been trying to score them. I think there was a stat the other day that I saw that it said the last 10 times that he shot on goal, 8 have hit the post when he shot outside of the box like that. So he's getting, you know, he's getting closer. Essentially, you know, he's on target. He just needs to get it into the net and off the woodwork. So, you know, I think that's going to be, he's going to get some goals this season, and I can't wait to see him score. He's definitely, I think, for many Madridistas, one of our best players, one of our most, you know, exciting players. Is an incredible work rate, incredible. He's a workhorse. I mean, he just runs up and down the field. He is an amazing player, and I just can't wait to see the mix of him Valverde, Camavinga, and Tchouaméni together. And Tchouaméni, I still think, like I said, when he needs some more time, especially this is just preseason. But once he gets going, I see some good stuff out of him. I think Rodrigo, moving on to our offense, which I think is where everyone's questions are. Rodrigo, for me, was one of the best players on the field as well. I think he showed a lot of that passion, a lot of that form and hunger to score goals and go out there and play that he showed towards the end of the season last season. Of course, the problem with Rodrigo is that he is naturally a left winger, you know, and we saw him excel last season more when he was put in the position of a left winger than when he was playing on the right wing. Not to say he's bad on the right wing, but he is much, much better on the left wing, and he is much, much better coming off the bench, as we've seen, than he is usually starting. That's why a lot of people want an out-and-out right winger to be signed. And I'll go into that in a little bit, which is, you know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of crap going on about the transfers and whatnot. And I understand some of it, and I don't understand other parts of it. But, you know, I'll get into that in a little bit. And I think moving on with that transfer idea in mind is that I think it's nothing. I mean, right wingers aside, I think the most important, the glaring hole in our attack is essentially that when Benzema is not there, we need somebody else that is a quality backup. Now, I've seen names thrown around like Cavani. I've seen names thrown around like Edin Dzeko, Wissam Ben Yedder, Cristiano Ronaldo. I am a diehard Cristiano Ronaldo fan. I am a diehard fan. I believe you cannot be a Madridista and slander Cristiano Ronaldo. So that is just my opinion. I would love to see him come back, you know. Do I think it's going to be the best decision? No, but I would love to see him retire at Madrid like he, I think, in the end, would deserve in a way. I think, his story after Madrid isn't as strong as the story that he had with Madrid. You know, he did pretty good at Juventus. He goes back to Manchester United. They don't have a great team, let's be real. They're starting to look a little bit better now here during the preseason under Ten Hag, which I think is going to be interesting given, you know, Eric Ten Hag's quality as a coach. But I think, you know, having Cristiano Ronaldo come back would be a cool end to his story if, you know, he were to do something big and, you know, help us win another Champions League or another La Liga. But that is more of a pipe dream. I don't think that is going to happen. Actually, I like the idea. I was reading today on Twitter. I liked the idea of Cavani. I think he's a quality striker. I mean, obviously his better days, you know, his days at Napoli, which were fantastic. I think his days, those kind of days are behind him a little bit, or, you know, he's aging, of course. We've seen Ben Yedder. I don't watch as much of Ligue 1 as I would like, but I don't dislike the idea. At the end of the day, it's a backup to Benzema. But, you know, Wissam Ben Yedder, is he going to take is he going to take a backup role? Is he going to be willing to sit on the bench while, you know, Benzema is the one who really gets all the accolades, you know, or is the one who gets all the minutes? And that's where the issue becomes very difficult. But I think that is the most glaring problem that we have right now, is that we do not have a striker outside of Benzema. Now, I think what's strange to me is that everyone is so, you know, I think you guys, a lot of Madridistas just invite bad luck, consistently talking about what's going to happen if Benzema gets injured. What's going to happen if Benzema gets a cold? I mean, when was the last time that Benzema missed, an entire season, had an injury that lasted, you know, months on end? I think, you know, that's just inviting those type of things to happen. Yes, it can happen. Yes, we need to rotate him because so that he doesn't get those injuries. But who do we rotate him with? So we definitely need somebody else to back him up. It's not Mariano. Definitely not Mariano, who I'm starting to dislike immensely now, especially after the reports today of him not wanting to leave. Essentially, he doesn't want to leave, even though there seems to be other offers coming in, of him saying that he would rather sit on the bench at Real Madrid than go somewhere else. It's strange to me that a professional football player would do that, knowing that your job really is to play football. Your job really is to go out there and play, not to sit on a bench and let your best years pass, you know? So it's strange to me that he's doing that. I understand wanting to be a part of a club that has won so much, but it's just strange. I mean, I know he's part of, you know, yes, he is part of the academy. He has, you know, he's come up with in Madrid. But I just think, you know, as a football player, you would want to play some football, and it doesn't seem like he's going to get a chance to do it here. They're looking at him as a third string. They're looking at getting somebody else. So if he doesn't leave, they're going to get somebody else, or try to get somebody else to even put in Hazard as a false nine before even going towards thinking of putting Mariano out there. So I just don't understand that mindset. It's just sitting on the bench. And I wrote it today on a tweet. It's sitting on the bench, knowing that you're not going to have minutes, collecting a paycheck, telling everyone you play for Madrid when you don't really even play. And it's just kind of it's making yourself a villain at this point. You know, I think it's, you know, if people liked you, or even if they kind of were indifferent towards you before because your form wasn't great, and they didn't think, you know, you were not that you weren't quality for you. I always like to say, I never like to say that players are not quality players, because they're obviously professional players for a reason. I mean, he showed, you know, that he could play when he was at Lyon, you know, which is why we brought him back. But we didn't expect Benzema to have the season and have the game, you know, the form he's been having, you know, since Cristiano left. So it's not his fault, obviously, that we brought him back. And then, you know, now he's not playing, but you would think that he would want to go on somewhere else where he's going to get those minutes. And the thing is, it's not that he is a bad player. He's just, I think he needs more time to play. He needs more minutes. He needs to get back his confidence, but he's not going to get it at Madrid. You know, he's not going to get it at Real Madrid, and he should go somewhere. And I don't think he's Madrid quality. That's the difference. I'm not saying he's not a football player. He's not even good. He should be doing something else. No, he should just be plying his trade at a team that isn't Real Madrid and does not have the expectations of Madrid. It's the same thing I feel about Asensio. You know, at this point, he's also one of those guys who's making himself out to be a villain. When people used to like, I used to love Asensio. I thought he was going to be a star. You know, I have a Reddit post that I still see every occasion pop up where I write, you know, oh my God, I love this kid. You know, he's scoring some bangers, all this stuff. But that was before his injury in 2019. And he just simply hasn't come back from that. He doesn't have a good attitude on the pitch. I think he looked decent in the game against Barcelona, missed a sitter, in my opinion. But besides that, he scored some bangers with those left-footed shots. But I say it again, if that's all you can bring to the table is occasionally scoring a beautiful left-footed shot, you really are, you're a one-trick pony. You're not somebody who's going to excel. And that's where I think, you know, these two guys have already sort of outworn their welcome, and it's just going to get worse for them. And I don't like to talk shit about players. I really don't. But I think at this point, it gets to a point where you're sort of inviting the animosity towards you, because, you know, Mariano not leaving and Asensio not leaving take up positions for other players that could possibly come in, you know, whether it's, you know, because of the wage bill, you know, it's just the way things are. And I think at this point, they're not being as counted on. I think Asensio could be a little bit more counted on here and there, but, you know, he's going to give you a great game every five or six games and then disappear for the rest of the time. So that's not something that we can really have at Madrid. But aside from that, I think the rest of the team, for me, I think the rest of the team is where it needs to be. You know, I definitely think, like I said, I think the striker and the right wing is necessary. I agree with you guys. I agree with the fact that, we need these players. An out-and-out right winger, I'm not so worried about that. I mean, I've heard names like, who is this? The young guys like Cherki and Huri from Ligue 1, you know, from Nice and from Lyon. I would love to see those guys, you know, come by. But it's a difficult situation to be in because I think at this point, at least for the striker position, and I've talked with this with a couple of you guys on Twitter, it's difficult, I think, to find somebody who knows from the get-go that they are going to be, that they are going to play second fiddle to Benzema, that they're going to get very little minutes unless, you know, Ancelotti decides to rotate or we're playing Copa del Rey in the early stages, that is going to get very few chances to really play unless it's coming on at the end of the game. Really to just give Benzema a breather, you know, and on the off chance that Benzema, God forbid, suffers an injury or something like that, those are going to be the times that you're going to get a chance to shine. For a young and hungry striker, maybe that might make sense because they're like, okay, I got to make a name for myself. I'm going to be making a name for myself at Madrid. But for anybody that's established, for anybody that we're thinking, you know, is a great player, a great striker, they're not going to do that. You know, they're not going to come here for that. That's why I'm saying somebody like Ben Yedder, who plays consistently at Monaco, I don't think he's going to come and do that here at Real Madrid. It would be a you know, a testament to their passion if they did do that. I think guys like Cavani, guys like Edin Dzeko that are sort of getting to the higher up in their age and they're on the kind of they can come on as substitutes. I think those guys are a little bit better suited for something like this. And hopefully that might be something that we'll look into. But there's really slim pickings, you know. So I understand that many of us Madridistas want this and see it as a glaring problem, but there's so much slander out there. It's like, it's just, you know, that, you know, it's already back to the Florentino shit, like, the board sucks and all this kind of stuff, man. It's slander. The amount of slander that Madridistas dish out is pretty nuts. But I mean, let's be real. Some of you guys are assholes, you know? And I mean that nicely because Madridistas, we can be assholes because we demand perfection. We want perfection. But that desire for perfection is a double-edged sword. It can cause problems and it can lead to, this sort of toxic banter that happens sometimes that I think is pretty ridiculous. You know, there's no need to just fucking just get angry at everybody because, you know, yes, there is one issue that we have, but we just won the Champions League. We just won La Liga title. We want to win more. I think with these younger guys are going to want to continue to show that they can win more. I think Vinicius, Rodrigo, I still have faith in Hazard. I think he can show up this season. He's no longer, you know, he's no longer has the problems with the ankle, got surgery for it, seems to be in very good shape. The false nine position is definitely not the position I want to see him in. He may have to, you know, play on the right wing if Rodrigo's not playing, even though I know that's not his position either. See if Ancelotti, you know, plays a different system and puts him behind Benzema, you know, and puts him behind his striker. We'll have to see how that plays out. If he starts him instead of Vinicius or starts Vinicius on the right instead of, and then has Hazard on the left. We'll see what happens, but I think he'll bring some stuff to the table. I wouldn't discount him just yet. Is he going to be the Hazard of old? No, I don't think that's going to happen. But is he going to show us some sparks of the talent that he once had? I do think so. Stay tuned for it. I really believe that's going to happen. If I don't, you can come back and call me a dumbass because, you know, hey, I'll invite it. Barcelona transfers, you know, guys, I really don't want to comment too much on this shit. Everyone's been talking about it. I think too many Madridistas have been way too focused on the Barcelona transfers, more so than the Real Madrid, like their own team. Like, oh, how are they doing? You know, how are they doing this? You know, how are they making these payments? We all know how they're doing it, right? It's not economics 101. It's probably I think one of those things that could be like how not to run a club, because And I said this on a Twitter post at one point. It's like, how are they doing this? It's like, you know, here in the States, you go into rough neighborhoods, you know, and, you know, a lot of people like to, it's kind of like the whole fake it till you make it kind of mentality, right? So you have a really shitty house, you got, you know, you have a lot of unpaid bills, you know, collection agencies are calling your phone, you know, trying to tell them that you owe them, you know, you owe your credit card, you owe a bunch of different stuff. You got all these bills, you got to fix the house, the roof's leaking, a bunch of shit. You haven't cut the lawn because you can't afford the lawnmower, or the lawnmower ran out of gas and you can't afford gas. But then you see like a brand new Range Rover, or a brand new Cadillac a brand new high-end vehicle in the driveway, because the only thing you're doing is focusing on making the payments for that so that the bank doesn't take away that. They can take away your house. They can take away, I think Iñaki Angulo, who sometimes I like him, sometimes I think he's a little bit of a prick, but you know, he was talking about how, like, you know, you're basically saying, listen, I need 300,000 euros or whatnot. Let's say dollars in this case, $300,000. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell, you know, a kidney. I'm going to go and give some blood. I'm going to prostitute my daughter. I'm going to, sell my mother off as a maid to some, you know, rich family so that they can clean the house. I think he said he was going to give his daughter he would sell his daughter to Biden's son, you know, the coke addict Biden. So Hunter Biden. So, you know, he was saying all those things. And then with that money, all that stuff, you got $300,000. Now you can buy what you wanted. Right. But you don't take a look at what it cost you, really, the amount it's really going to cost you in the end to make that payment, to get those $300,000, to get that 300. So if you, it's crazy. It's like, it happens a lot here in America. I used to do it when I was younger, where it's like almost like you're paying off bills with credit cards, one credit card and then another credit card. And you're paying off bills that are, you're paying bills that are due with money that you don't even have. You're just taking it out on credit, or you're just taking out loan after loan after loan after loan and trying to, you know, get what you want, get some really nice stuff. But what's going to happen is it's going to come and bite you in the ass, because with interest and everything that we know how, you know, economics works, is essentially with interest, you're going to end up paying, you know, let's say you paid, you know, $1,000 for a laptop, and then you put it on credit, and you don't pay it off for, you know, you're not paying it off, you know, you're getting late fees and all sorts of stuff. You can end up paying $5,000 for the laptop, you know, or double its whatever it's worth. It just keeps going and going, or you never pay it off. You know, you're just, what you're paying is interest, you know, and late fees. You're not even paying off the actual price of the laptop. So I think that's what they're, you know, they consider that's Barcelona's doing it now. I think what they're doing, obviously, I didn't want to get into talking too much about it, but here we are. I think, and here's where, you know, I think it's interesting, because they're really hoping on achieving something this year, you know, whether it's winning the Champions League, winning La Liga, anything to get a revenue. So anything to get, you know, that revenue, but they're selling off shares. They're selling off portions of their revenue, you know? So after they make those payments, they're hoping that they're still getting enough money in order to pay, you know, back these loans, essentially, you know, and to essentially have enough money to pay their players. So it's a really, really, you're basically almost promising your investors that you're going to be able to pay them back based on the fact that you're saying, you know, we are going to have this success next year, you know? So you're saying, yes, invest in us now, because we're going to have so much success this year that we're going to be able to pay you back with the money we generate. And that's a very dangerous game, especially considering that there are hundreds of teams, or not hundreds of teams, but there are a lot of teams right now that are very, very strong. I mean, as much as I hate PSG, you know, they're going to continue to fight for Champions League football, you know, they're adding people to their roster. I think Manchester City is going to be a nightmare with the likes of Haaland. You know, I love Haaland. I hate the fact that he plays for Manchester City. I will love, hopefully, that one day he plays for Madrid, especially considering that Mbappe, you know, basically, you know, flipped on us and decided to go with the money-hungry Qatari club. So, you know, I'm a little bit bitter about that, but whatever, you know, I want to see how Haaland does in Manchester City. And I think that's going to be interesting to see. I think it's going to be interesting to see Manchester United with Ten Hag. They've been showing some interesting things right now too, with so far in the preseason. We'll see how that plays out. Chelsea's really got a lot of egg on their face with Barcelona, man. But you will see. I mean, there's a lot of people that can compete with Barcelona. So you're really betting on a future that you can't guarantee. You can't guarantee that that's the things are going to go your way. And if it doesn't go your way, God forbid, it doesn't go that way for Barcelona, because they're going to be screwed. And as much as I want to say, fuck Barcelona, I really don't like them. And I do kind of want to see them, you know, just, you know, for the pure schadenfreude of it all, you know, being excited to see them kind of fail. If they fail, I mean, they fail, but it's not good for La Liga, you know, in the end, because, you know, so many of the teams in La Liga are struggling right now, with the exception of Madrid, you know? So, but in the end, so let's go back to that. In the end, let them make these transfers, guys. Just let them make these transfers. They're the ones who are dealing with all these issues, you know? And if somebody's going to step in and investigate it, let them investigate it. If not, the only thing that Real Madrid can do is play Real Madrid's game, which is continue to play the way they've been playing, continue to, you know, grow these guys like Camavinga and Vinicius and Rodrigo and Tchouameni and this new defense and everything that we have there. And we got to worry about us, right? And yes, we need to make some transfers. You know, I think like get a good backup striker, get a right winger, you know, although I think, you know, that's not as necessary, but definitely a striker. But you know what? Like it or not, guys, it's good for La Liga to be back with like this, with Lewandowski coming to Barcelona. It's good for La Liga to have Lewandowski and Benzema, two of the best strikers in the world at the moment, you know, going head to head once again in La Liga in the two biggest teams, Barcelona and Real Madrid. I think it's good for La Liga and it's good for Spanish football. Even though I want to see them dusted and I want us to beat them every single time, it brings intensity back to this rivalry, right? And we saw it already with Rudiger and Araujo. It's already getting spicy, guys. It's already getting back to being interesting again. And as much as, listen, Barcelona is always going to be a pain in our ass, but they're always going to be, guys, the eterno secundones, because they're always been that. They had Messi, they had Neymar, they had Luis Suarez, and they still are, they're even further behind us now with Champions League trophies than they were before. And they've had all these big names before, you know? They've had bigger names than just bringing Lewandowski, because Lewandowski can't do things alone, you know? And we still have to see, will Rafinha play out, you know? Will Dembele and Ansu Fati stay healthy? You know, will they be able to stay healthy? Aubameyang is going up there in years as well. So is Lewandowski. We'll see what happens with Koundé. You know, there's so much. It's so many. How would you say in Spanish? Incógnitas. There's so much question marks still. But the question marks don't with this Barcelona team. Sure, they have some firepower, but that doesn't mean that they're going to win everything. That doesn't mean that they're going to consistently beat us, and that doesn't mean that they're going to be able to. That doesn't even mean that they're going to get out of the group stage, you know, of the Champions League this season, just because they have all these additions. Anything can happen in football. You know, look at last season. If there is anything can happen in football mentality is what Real Madrid really breeds. I mean, with a team, we are a stronger team this season. And we won. We didn't win everything. We still need to. We still have a bone to pick with Copa del Rey. But we won almost everything. We won. We almost, you know, got the treble. that the long-awaited treble, you know? We almost got it, you know? But we still won the two biggest trophies that we could possibly get, which are La Liga and the Champions League. And we did it with it. We did it in a crazy way with not a team that might, on paper, people thought was not going to make it. But now these guys are rejuvenated. These guys know that they can do it. These guys are going to play hungrier. They've got more chemistry. They've gone through a shitload of stuff together. And now you add in two, you know, you strengthen the defense, you strengthen the midfield. I think definitely, like, once again, I said they need to strengthen a striker, and it looks like they need to strengthen the attack. And get a backup striker. And I think they realize that now. A lot of things have been coming out on Twitter today about it. So, calma, guys. Calma, 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 you know? Like I said, man, it's good for La Liga, but fuck Barcelona. Stop worrying about them so much. Stop worrying about every little thing they do. Stop giving them the time of day. They love that, man. You see guys like Jota Jordi, and you see all these guys from El Chiringuito and all these Barcelona guys like Mr. Seitan and all these fucking guys, and they just love talking trash, man. They love talking trash, and it's because Madridistas eat it up because we give them the time of day. You know? Laporta putting up all these stupid billboards or posters or whatnot. And we just give them the time of day. You get angry about it and you give them the time of day and they love it. They just love riling you up because that's really all they have right now. Here it is. Real Madrid are the champions. We're the champions, right? We lead the tally of titles when it comes to La Liga and when it comes to the Champions League, and when it comes to, I think, the Club World Cup. The only thing they have the upper hand on us is the Copa del Rey, which seems to be cursed for us sometimes. But we are the champions, my friends, as Freddie Mercury would say. You know, stop getting riled up by the opinion of these sheep at Barcelona. You know, stop getting riled up. You know, it's as they say, you know, a tiger does not lose sleep over the opinion of sheep, or a lion does not lose sleep over the opinion of sheep. We are the champions. Real Madrid are the champions. Start acting like champions, guys. Start acting like it. Don't be so worried about all the crap that they talk, you know? Don't worry about all that stuff. All right. Anyway, guys, that is my podcast. That is the podcast for... whatever, not this week or anything. I got to put some more stuff out. I think we face America. What is it, tomorrow? Is it Tuesday or is it Wednesday? And then we're going to face Juve. I believe Juve is on the 10th, right? Something like that. I'm gonna miss these games. That's the problem, because I leave on the 5th of August. So I'm going to miss some of these games. But I can't wait for the league to start. I'm not going to miss them. I'm going to be in a different place and hopefully I can catch them. But anyway, guys. I'm going to give you more content. We are going to bring you more content this season. We are going to do our best. We've got new camera, new setup. I'm going to try to bring you some lives. I'm going to try to do some other stuff with the team here. Halal is going to be back. Trambak is going to be back. Got other people coming into the fray. A la Madrid, y nada más podcast. We're going to try to continue bringing you some good stuff. I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys enjoy the content that we bring. I hope you enjoy our podcast. Hit that like button. You know, when you see our posts, retweet our shit, you know, hit the subscribe button on YouTube, hit the like button, you know, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. And yeah, that's it. And then also, if you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a comment, because it helps us rise up the ranks there. We are available on Apple Podcasts. We are available on Spotify. We are available on iHeart, which is here in the United States. TuneIn, Stitcher, everywhere that you can find podcasts, you can find us there. And then in addition, of course, we are on YouTube, where you can see my friendly face. I'm really happy, guys, to be back. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about this stupid loss against Barcelona. It's just the preseason. Stop being so vicious to each other on Twitter. Have some decorum. Stop letting these Barcelona people get you riled up. And, you know, be a little nicer to each other, man. It's another season. Another season of Real Madrid football. All right, guys. Peace out. A la Madrid. Talk to you again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.